Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right.
We need to let our listeners know that you may have heard some reruns last week, and I hope that you enjoyed them. They were best ofs that we were saving for just such an occasion. But the reason that we did that was because this show needs to mark the passing of its biggest fan, who was my dad, who passed away last week. And
that was very tough.
But I'll tell you, I got some insights. You know, my dad was very proud of what we did at the restaurant. You and me, pal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his last sort of thing that really made him smile was I showed up a couple of days before he died with something he'd been hankering for, some linguine with clam sauce. And we had a non-alcoholic beer and some linguine with clam sauce, and it was, you know, it was his last great meal. But I'll tell you something. Having gone through this week of wakes and funerals, and so many great people came to say, give their condolences to my mom and my sisters and myself, my family, being Irish American, we don't do the Irish wake thing anymore, which is you used to wake the body in the house and
get really, really drunk,
sit around and tell stories, and occasionally people would have a few, play some music, but we do still do the repast, which in New Jersey colloquialism is the repast, which everyone talks about, which is the meal that you have after the funeral, and usually you have, you know, late morning funerals. Mm-hmm. And we had it catered by our own restaurant, so it was a lot of comfort food, mm-hmm. a lot of Italian-American food, and you took care of it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'll tell you, food is really healing in situations like that. And we came together, and we spent the afternoon together, and people stopped by the house all day. And it was just really great. And we had it catered, and so we didn't have a thing to worry about. Well, you did, because you catered it. Thank you. And I thought it was really great. So and then I got good and drunk. So, anyway.
Well, those things can be very, very cleansing. And you know, food and family, and these things all come together.
So there's to my dad. We'll miss him. And we're one listener down. So you have to – everyone who's listening needs to call a friend and get somebody else to listen to the show, because my dad listened every day and made all his friends do it too.
There you go.
Okay. We want to talk today about a term that you got a little angry in the office last night as you were reading a piece of paper.
I wasn't reading. I was recounting a television commercial I saw. And I don't know who it was for, Quiznos, Subway, Burger King, one of these places.
And I'm usually the one to go off on things like this. Well, please take the subject.
So I'm listening to this commercial on television during one of the football games or whatever, and I hear them say, and this great sandwich, and it's made on artisan bread. And I looked over at my wife and I said, no, it's not.
Well.
No, it's not. You need an artisan. Okay, so unless you're telling me that whatever, again, I don't remember which company it was, but we'll say Burger King for the sake of saying it. Unless you're telling me Burger King's got 20,000 artisans that it's trained to make a 1,000 loaves each, so they can serve their 2 million sandwiches.
It's not artisan bread if you can make 2 million at a pop.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's called manufactured.
And it's not artisan bread if you made it in Michigan. You know, poofed it all the way up and had somebody put it in the oven for the last 10 seconds in Ohio.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. Okay, you've stolen the word natural. Okay, that pretty much has no meaning whatsoever anymore. You're stealing the word organic. Okay, and now you want to come in and you want to steal the word artisan.
Artisan or artisanal means made by an artisan, someone who practices a craft, you know, like a guy with a screwdriver and a chisel who builds a chair out of wood, or a guy who bakes bread every day himself.
Hey, you know, I have a new definition for artisan.
What's that?
Okay, I'm sorry, it's not a definition, it's an anti-definition.
What?
An artisan cannot make minimum wage.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that's my new definition. You cannot make minimum wage if you're an artisan.
Well, and you also can't make use a huge machine and make millions and millions and millions of loaves of bread.
Anyway. 1 million is the limit for an artisan to make any item.
I think it's less than that. I think it's less than that. Also in the news today is... Marion Burroughs, who's a reporter for the New York Times, is a very good reporter for the New York Times, writes about food a lot. She writes, to Ben & Jerry, first Chicago banned the sale of foie gras, then Whole Foods stopped selling live lobsters. Now Ben & Jerry's has pledged not to use eggs that come from a farm the Humane Society of the United States has accused of being cruel to its laying hens. Animal rights activists are on a roll, she says. While they pursue high-profile cases, they're also signing up farmers who, in exchange for taking a pledge to treat their animals humanely, are permitted to label their products certified humane. I want to weigh in on this. Number one,
because the three things have nothing to do with each other.
It's great that Ben and Jerry's, in addition to using dairy mostly from cows that aren't given recombinant bovine growth hormone, that's great. And now it's great that they've taken the additional step of not using eggs from farms that treat mm-hmm. their laying hens inhumanely. Because let me tell you something, laying hens in industrial farms are treated very terribly. But how she confounds this with the banned sale of foie gras in Chicago and Whole Foods stopping selling live lobsters. See, those two are sort of misguided. And she mentions here certified humane, which is a moniker administered by Humane Farm Animal Care, which is an organization. We've had the founder on the show, Del Douglas.
Well, let's just take them separately for a second. Foie gras ducks, we've beaten that to death, so you know how we feel about that. Foie gras ducks, it's relatively natural. It's much better than chicken farming. The lobsters, okay, we've even talked about that. Okay, first of all, lobsters are arthropods. They're not mammals. I consider
bugs of
that.
The sea, everybody.
Bugs of the sea, okay. Secondly, the lobsters live their whole lives in the ocean and then are taken out, and towards the end of their lives, they're killed. Okay. That's how we harvest a wild animal and we kill it for food, just like would happen in the wild.
They're objecting that you keep it in a box for a while. You keep it in a
spider. I understand.
It's a spider. It's a bug. It's a bug
okay.
of the sea. Okay.
And then we try and match that with what we do to chickens by keeping them in a cage, debeaking them in a cage so small that they can't turn around.
You're being a real downer, man.
How do you put those three things are not the same.
I also want to challenge one thing. She writes here, in its latest efforts on behalf of animals, the Humane Society has shamed Ben and Jerry's into changing to eggs from cage-free hens by calling the company hypocritical for criticizing giant industrial farming on its website. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to attack Ben & Jerry's, and mm-hmm. especially as they said, you know what, you brought up a good point, you're right, we're going to change.
Exactly.
If they were shamed into it, I don't think so.
Also,
I think they made a good choice.
Realize that this is not just the Humane Society. There are lots of other organizations that believe, and Francis and I are one of, that you're making this change partially for the animal, yes, absolutely, for the way the animals are treated. But you're also making this change because we believe that it makes healthier, tastier food.
Final note in this part of the article, and Whole Foods is reportedly building special housing to make lobsters more comfortable in its stores so its customers won't have to go elsewhere to buy them. It's installing televisions, couches, and it's going to put little refrigerators for the lobsters to have snacks once in a while. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And today we're talking with event designer Karen Bussin. She's the author of the Simple Stunning series of books, Simple Stunning Weddings, Simple Stunning Wedding Flowers, Simple Stunning Showers, and the Simple Stunning Wedding Organizer, Planning Your Perfect Celebration. She's one of the top one-of-a-kind event designers in the country. She's an authority on food, wine, planning. She's been featured in Modern Bride, Martha Stewart, New York Magazine, Regis and Kelly, The Today Show. She's got her own television gig going on, and she works with hotels and restaurants as well.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Guys, how are you?
We're doing pretty great. Now let's get this straight. You're not Martha Stewart, right?
No.
Are you sure?
I am 100% sure.
You're not making any macaroni crafts this week?
Not making anything with 2,000 carnations glued to a cake stand.
All right, then. All right, then. Now,
although I do have to say I love Martha Stewart. I'm a big fan, so.
Well, I would imagine. I just wanted to clarify that you weren't actually Martha Stewart.
No.
Now, you came out of, not in your ancient history, but you came out of the restaurant world, right?
I sure did. I worked in the restaurant industry in New York City for many, many years for Danny Meyer at Union Square Cafe and for Pino Luongo at the Italian restaurant Le Madri for several years, and then actually had my own restaurant, which was called Filonico on 24th Street in the Flatiron District. And at that restaurant, we couldn't afford to hire a florist to do the flowers. And so I started just making these little creations, and people would come in and ask me who was designing these. And so when I said that I was, they would say, hey, we're having a little dinner party at our house, or we're having a small wedding. Would you like to do the flowers? And thus, my business was born.
Karen, I need to ask you a question, because I've been trying now for about 20 years. How'd you escape the restaurant business?
Well, see, that was always my plan. No,
how'd you get away?
Here's me. I have the best of both worlds now, because I love food, I love wine, I love chefs, and I love restaurants. But instead of having to work in one every day, I just get to come in and design a great party there. Last year, for example, we took over Per Se here in Manhattan for a night, and we did the most glorious one-of-a-kind wedding celebration for 50 people. You know, just a once-in-a-lifetime menu and beautiful setting. So I get to do it all. You know, I get to have it all, but I don't have to actually be there for the, oh, I don't know how many hours it is a week, you guys. How many is it now?
A gazillion. Karen, if you took over Per Se for a wedding for 50 people,
yes.
You took it over for 50 really, really rich people.
I was going to say, when you said one-of-a-kind glorious wedding at the top restaurant in Manhattan with one of the top designers redecorating the restaurant for your one event.
Well, actually, we didn't have to do any real redecorating for it because it's such a beautiful space as it is. We did accent with, you know, the favorite flowers of the bride. And
I'm imagining that wasn't like a green carnation and a little thing on the table. That's not what you did?
No. Lots of beautiful exotic, you know, orchids and seasonal flowers. And it was really great. We actually did the ceremony there, too. They have a beautiful little private room that I think seats about 40 people, and so we did the ceremony there and then dinner, you know, overlooking Central Park. So it was really neat.
And for those of you who don't know Per Se, this is Per Se of the, you know, individually commissioned sugar bowls that cost $1,000 each. So
now Karen, I think that this is something I definitely wanted to get into, and we have people who do this for events and not just weddings. When people work with a restaurant and they want to make something really special, they can hire you to design the event at the restaurant. Now, are there occasions other than weddings where people hire you to sort of come into a restaurant and make the room special for a Christmas party or a birthday party or an anniversary?
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, we certainly do design a lot of weddings, but many, many of our parties are, you know, birthday parties or anniversary get-togethers, corporate events. I think I have told you guys before that I used to work with Rocco DiSpirito at Union Pacific, and we used to do all kinds of great, you know, corporate stuff there where we would come in and we'd sort of we don't want to turn the restaurant into something that it's not, but we want to take it and personalize it and make it work with whatever the particular occasion it is.
So let's talk specifics, Karen. Let's give people an idea of when you're going to a restaurant, you're going to have a party, maybe people haven't worked with a designer like you. What can you do when you come into a restaurant that's a very nice restaurant, but what do you do to make it special for an evening besides just bring in flowers? What do you look at and what do you try and
do? Balloons and streamers got to be your other stuff, right?
Oh, darn it. That was my secret weapon. No. Well, a lot of it has to do with personalizing details. So we might, you know, print a special menu that has a motif that relates to whatever the event is. We might do an invitation that suggests something about the restaurant and the place and kind of ties it all together. Linens, colors, textures. I mean, most great restaurants have a wonderful interior design, you know, motif going on, but we might supplement with like a gorgeous silk tablecloth on the tables. Last year we did the Glamour Women of the Year Awards event dinner, which was hosted by Catherine Zeta-Jones, and it was at Shun Li here in New York City, really close to Lincoln Center. And so it's a beautiful restaurant, and it obviously has a very Asian feeling inside, but we really wanted to glam it up for all of these Hollywood ladies who were coming in for dinner. So we brought in gold and red iridescent, you know, silk dupioni tablecloths and beautiful chopsticks and black lacquer plates. And
It's amazing when you see what when a designer like you comes into a room, and people do it in our restaurant every once in a while, and it's amazing to see how they just they enhance the aesthetic of the room to make it special for just that one night.
Yes.
We're talking with Karen Bussin. She's one of the top event designers in the country. She's got her own shows. She's had a lot of television gigs. She's got her own stuff that she's written about. You can reach her at KarenBussin.com, and we'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Kathleen Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Kathleen showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. You see, Kathleen Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or KatherineLombardi.com.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Karen Bussin. She is a top event designer for one-of-a-kind events. She's based in New York City. Now, Karen, you're an event designer. You're not a logistical organizer. You're not a wedding planner.
Believe it or not.
You do both now?
What happened was we originally started just in the design side of things, and actually even more specifically just with flowers, as I was telling you earlier. And then what happened was we kind of just kept branching out more and more. Our clients would ask us for our advice on lighting. They would ask us for our advice on all, you know, invitations and the other design elements. And then finally, I think, you know, we were just having so much fun working with our clients. They would say, hey, what are we doing? Why don't you just take over the whole thing for us and plan it? And at first, I was really like, gosh, I don't know if I want to be the wedding planner, you know. But I did it a couple of times, and I realized that that's actually one of the parts I love the most, because I feel like I get to know the people, and I really get to be on the inside track for, like, crafting the entire event from start to finish. So.
And it's also because you're some kind of a crazy control freak, just like me. I'm looking.
Hey, now.
I mean, come on, deny that.
No, I definitely think that that's true. I don't think you could do this job without having a little bit of an obsessive control issue.
Yeah.
Do you get to wear one of those little headsets like Jennifer Lopez in that movie?
Actually, those give me a rash. So. No, we don't do that. But what I will say is we do a lot of text messaging. So we'll be on site at the event and just saying, okay, I'm near the stage, bring them up.
I have to say, after all my years in the restaurant business, there's something that all restaurateurs, great restaurateurs and maitre d's do that maybe even a captain doesn't do. It's when the maitre d' of a restaurant walks into a room, even if they've been out of the business for a long time, they immediately adjust the temperature of the room, the music, and the lighting. And we met over dinner several years ago, Karen, and what I liked about you immediately was you were noticing little things. You're like, see that? Now, did you see that? And like, things would go by, and you wouldn't say anything because you were being polite, but they bugged you just like they bugged me, and I really liked that.
Yes, well, that's definitely true. You know how it is. When you have strong opinions and you are so inside this world all the time, you are, of course, you're going to notice things. But it's always, you know, when we're out, we're out to have a great time, and, you know, I try not to do too much critiquing, but...
Can't turn it off.
But, yeah,
can't turn it off.
And the other thing that happens to me all the time is it doesn't matter where I am. I was at a party a couple of weeks ago that I had nothing to do with. I was just there saying hello to someone, and everyone started coming up and asking me, excuse me, where do the plasma screens go? And I was like, wait a minute. So everyone just always thinks that I'm in charge.
Do you know what...
Well, I think they should... They're on that wall, but I think maybe they should go on that one over there.
Do you know what I tend to do occasionally? I'll find myself at the – and, Mark, I've seen you do this too. We'll be at the door of a restaurant, and we'll be just waiting outside, or a friend's having a cigarette or waiting to come in, and we'll find ourselves saying, Good night. Thanks for coming.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Excuse me.
That happened to me just last weekend, actually.
You know, you were saying that you do a lot of text messaging. One of the things that I think people may not realize about people in our industry is how much hand signals and nonverbal communication there is between staff members.
And we're going to talk more about that after the news with Karen Bussin, one of the top event designers in the country. We're going to specifically talk about weddings and give you some special hints. You can find out more about her through our website, restaurantguysradio.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today we're talking with our friend Karen Bussin. Karen Bussin is an author of several books, Simple Stunning Weddings, Simple Stunning Wedding Flowers, Simple Stunning Showers, The Simple Stunning Wedding Organizer. She's done a bunch of stuff on TV, Martha Stewart, New York Magazine. Blah, 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 blah. She's one of the top designers in the country for one-of-a-kind events. Now, Karen, let's talk this segment about weddings, because I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned for all sorts of parties from weddings. But, the wedding is a pretty key event for people. And you do how much of your business is weddings?
Probably about 65%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and you're right. I mean, a wedding is like the Uber party. It's like it's like every party that you've ever dreamed of kind of rolled into one, and every detail really has to be perfect.
Well, and I think people more and more are looking for a one-of-a-kind event. And,
yes.
And you stress that in all of your publications about making the events that you do are one-of-a-kind. Give us an idea of what makes an event a one-of-a-kind thing. What makes it stand out as singular?
Well, I would say that, first of all, it's just the aspect of personalizing. And I think one of the trends that I'm noticing is that couples don't want the word weddingy, used in the discussion of their receptions. They're really looking for parties that feel more like really great dinner parties than your typical, banquet sort of meals of yore. So we're really doing a lot more personalizing with details, and I'll give you some examples. We did a beautiful wedding out in Greenwich, Connecticut, on a lovely piece of property that was the bride's family home, and they were both really into music. He composed film scores, and she sang on them. That's how they met. And so we knew we had to really incorporate a lot of interesting musical details.
Yeah, you better get that right.
Yeah, so what I did was at the entrance to the dinner tent, they had about 300 guests. I hung 300 individual wind chimes from an arbor right outside the entrance of the tent, and each one of those wind chimes was lettered with the names of their guests.
Oh.
And if you can imagine approaching this tent from a high hill, walking down the stairs, and then just hearing and seeing these wind chimes just like lightly swinging in the breeze, and then everyone being able to find their seat and then take one home later, it's like those sort of moments and details that I really like to bring in. They actually relate to the couple and they're cool.
Yeah, that's a little different tack than I took for the music for my wedding, where pretty much I gave the DJ a no playlist.
There you go. Well, hey, you know what? That brings up a really interesting point, and I think every couple should create a list of songs they like, and definitely a list of, if you don't want to hear that cha-cha slide, you need to make a note of it.
Chicken dance is very
big. Because somebody's going to request the chicken dance. Somebody's going to ask to have the chicken dance played.
And maybe you want to hear Celebrate Good Times. Come on.
But, exactly. I mean, what's wrong with the cha-cha slide? I happen to like it.
But maybe you don't. And if you don't, you shouldn't let that be known.
In a former life, Karen, I was a banquet waiter, and we did hundreds and hundreds of weddings, and the whole cookie-cutter wedding became very unappealing to me.
Yes. Well, I think everyone feels exactly that way now. But we have to remember, though, that a wedding is, it's an event that does have a form. So there are some of those beautiful traditions that I think should stand. Like, I love the tradition of cutting the wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
And but what we've done to kind of, you know, freshen it up a little bit is we cut the wedding cake, but then maybe on the dance floor after the cake is cut, when everyone is really partying and having a great time, we'll bring out, like, really cool trays of miniature desserts, like mm-hmm. little baby ice cream cones or mini s'mores, or, you know, depending upon the theme of the event. And maybe we'll pass them with, like, really funky cocktail napkins, or even in pairings, so there's, like, a little shot of an after-dinner liqueur and something that goes with it. And, you know, so we try to jazz it up a little bit. But I think it's that fine line of balancing the really beautiful traditions and then getting rid of the ones that we don't like.
Okay, let's
the ones that became traditions in the 70s we're trying to ditch.
Let's take a – just as your mom was plasticking over her furniture, her upholstery, let's take a step back from the wedding. Look, if you're loaded, hire Karen Bussin to design it, hire us to cater it, and – we'll take your money and we'll give you something unbelievable.
And it'll be spectacular.
But if you want something a little to refrain a little from going that whole hog, you've written some great books, the Simple Wedding series, and you have a bunch of great advice for people here. What is the purpose of your books? Do you think people can take your books and plan their own weddings using your books as a template? And what are some of the things you advise them to do in general and to avoid in general?
Well, I mean, I think you're making a great point. The fact is that, you know, many, many people out there, for whatever reason, don't have or can't have a wedding planner. And so if that's the case, and if you're organized and you've got the can-do spirit, my books are great in that one of them is a design-based book, Simple Sunning Weddings, that has just tons and tons of pictures and thoughts and ideas and creative suggestions. And the other one is an organizer that walks you through all the steps. So you should be able to follow that from start to finish. And, you know, I did a lot of research on wedding planners before I wrote my book, and I found that so many of them just have all of this extraneous information that it's kind of intimidating even to me. And so I decided to just cut to the chase, keep it simple, tell you what you need to know, and then, you know, take it from there. But my main piece of advice is that every couple should know their priorities. So for each couple, it's different. For some, you know, music, as we were talking about, is really important. For others, food might be the most important thing, so that they're really going to allot their, you know, greatest part of their budget to that and their attention and their time to pairing wines and, you know, creating an amazing menu. For others, it may just be like, hey, we just want to get our friends together in a big loft space and just have a huge party, or we just want to be on a beach and do a clam bake. And I think knowing what's important to you helps focus and direct mm-hmm. the entire, you know, planning part of the celebration.
You know, Karen, your wedding organizer is actually set up as a three-ring binder, and I thought that that was a really good idea. You want to tell people why you did that?
Well, I did it because I know for myself, whenever I'm trying to keep notes and put something together, I like to be able to add things in. So I even put, like, plastic pockets in there so people could put fabric swatches of their dresses or, you know, menus that they receive from the restaurant or the caterer that they're working with. So I wanted people to be able to add in and take away and throw things out that they didn't want and add more pages if they needed more, you know, just so that they could really customize it. And the other thing I did was I designed the cover of the book so that you take off the paper band that's around it, and then it just looks like a cool book. It doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't have a bow on it, and it's not quilted.
Let's get into some of the things that you recommend in your books, though. The word simple appears again and again in your title, and you really do believe in keeping things simple. What makes, like, I was at a wedding.
Except when you're hanging chimes in somebody's tree, 300 chimes in somebody's tree.
I was at a wedding in a VFW hall a couple of years ago, and they picked up the dirty silverware and put it in the chock full of nuts can as they took it away. That was simple, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
Well, one of the things I say in my book is that, you know, simple is not necessarily always cheap, and it's more about the aesthetic. I personally believe in not wasting things, so I like to reuse and recycle and, you know, have things that have more than one purpose at the wedding, such as even the wind chimes, even though that seems like something that would be relatively complicated. In fact, you know, we're reusing it for three different things. And so, you know, for me, I think that that's part of the equation, is just really not wasting. Simplifying means paring down. You know, you don't need to have a gigantic candelabra that keeps people from talking to each other at a celebration where you just invited them all to come together, you know. So I'm into the sort of lower style centerpieces, you know, things that aren't going to break the bank, but but that are still beautiful. I don't know. I personally feel that in almost all occasions, except with maybe fine wine and great food, less is more.
Well, we're talking with Karen Bussin. She's a noted author and event designer about weddings and about events overall. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the interesting eventualities that happen, some of the interesting exigencies that happen with planning weddings and families and how things can sometimes go awry. We're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is event designer Karen Bussin, who's a friend of ours and one of the top event designers in the country. Now, Karen, we were talking in the last segment about weddings. And one of the things that Mark and I, I'll do this as briefly as I can. Mark and I, we used to have a very small restaurant and didn't do weddings. And now we own two somewhat larger restaurants, so we do medium-sized weddings and we'll cater weddings. But I remember when we first decided that we could do weddings and we got into it and we said, you know, well, weddings are more expensive than most meetings. Why don't we just plan our weddings under everybody else? And one of the things that we didn't realize is that when you plan a wedding, you have to have a counselor on staff for Bridezilla. Because and some of my best friends have become Bridezilla, and then they reverted to normal human beings after their wedding. And some
even during their wedding, sometimes they reverted as normal human beings.
And some people don't turn into Bridezilla, but you know, a business meeting is three phone calls, even if it's a high design event.
Right.
And you're done, and if you do the job well, they'll come back and do it again, and the next time it's one phone call.
Right.
A wedding is 39 to 59 phone calls,
at least.
Some of them hysterical.
At least.
And that's just about the salt shaker.
Yeah, exactly. How do you deal with that? How do you find that? Do you have any interesting stories about that?
You know, it's interesting. I think that my training in the restaurant industry really set me up well, and I have to really give kudos to Danny Meyer, who I consider a mentor, because he taught me what real people skills are and what the art of diplomacy and making people happy is all about. And I actually really enjoy making people happy. And so I not that I want, you know, any of these situations to come up, but, you know, inevitably, I mean, these are very emotional times for people. There's a lot of money going out the door. There's a big moment ahead of the whole family, both families, actually. There are relationships involved. So something's going to happen, you know. And whatever it is, I just try to keep us focused on, you know, what the most important things about this day are. So when someone starts to obsess, I mean, I was at a meeting and I kept track on my watch. 17 minutes we talked about the coffee cup. And I was like, at a certain point, you know, and they were going back and forth, I was like, I'm going to let them try to work this out. I know
was it at least
really
like enough. Turkish coffee they wanted to have? Or
no,
was
it was
just
the cup.
Oh, I see.
The plain white cup or the white cup with the floral motif.
Mm.
And so they finally turned to me and they're like, Karen, what do you think? And I said, well, they're both white. They're both nice looking cups. I think what we really need to focus on here is just serving a good cup of coffee, and they're both great. And then, of course, I gave in to the mom because she was paying for it.
You know, you bring up a great point. One of the things we learned very early on was sometimes that's a little unclear. And when in our first meeting that our event planners have with any wedding party is who's paying,
who's making the calls,
and who's making the final decision. Because we ran into a couple of situations where the bride and groom were paying, but the mother of the bride called up and try, like, change things.
Well,
and then,
I have to say that's one of the biggest difficulties that you can encounter, and that's what I would advise couples to do is right away talk about who's paying for what, where is all the money coming from, put it together in a wedding bank account that's controlled by, you know, one person, and anyone who's a decision maker, have them at all the key meetings. You know, don't have anyone making rogue, you know, phone calls.
Yeah.
Because it really can throw a wrench in the works. We had a situation recently like that where we had a family member of the bride who kept kind of coming from behind sort of secretively and trying to put, you know, put things in motion. And it just gets really confusing, you know. So really, the more you can streamline whose responsibilities are what, and if you feel like people want to be involved, give them something to do. Just give them one thing. Give them the cake or give them
and,
the music.
And I say one person you establish as the final word. If you're in the, because we have a lot of restaurateurs who listen to the show, a lot of people who are caterers who listen to the show,
yes,
in the business, you establish with everybody who is the final word.
And if you're planning your own wedding, establish who's going to be making those calls. I mean, I was planning a wedding with somebody the day before yesterday, and one person was saying no hard alcohol, the other person was saying no, we got to have hard alcohol.
Right.
And you want to know in the beginning of the planning process who has that final decision if you're in the business, and you also want to know it if you're the customer on the other
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. I think that's really, really good advice.
One,
the more you can streamline everything and just, you know, a lot of delicate feelings are involved too, like especially if you talk about money or who has the power in the situation. It's like it's better to just talk about it nicely at the very beginning, make those decisions before it's the heat of the moment and someone's going to get their feelings hurt, you know?
Did you read about the jilted bride this week who was turning her wedding into a fundraiser because it was too late to cancel her wedding?
No, I didn't, but I love it.
It was too late to cancel. She found out that her fiancé was cheating on her. Too late to cancel a wedding. They were going to lose the deposit. They had the rooms booked. They had the catering hall booked. And so what she did was she turned it into a fundraiser where she invited her friends and got them to
not
agree.
Just her friends. I mean, invited
right.
people
and,
from all over.
And got them to agree to make it a fundraiser for groups that empower women. Is that not cool?
I mean, I have to say, I think that's just really taking a negative and turning it into a positive.
Absolutely. I thought it was terrific. I saw Serendipity last week. Remember the John Cusack film where he falls in love with Kate Beckinsale and he cancels his – and then they're separated for 15 years and then they find each other. And he cancels his wedding at the Waldorf. Have you ever had anybody cancel at the last minute and just have it all – just all those flowers sitting there?
I actually have not had that happen. We did have to move a couple of weddings as a result of September 11th, strangely, you know, that were scheduled to be downtown. And so we did have to kind of reschedule and move things around. But I've actually never had a wedding cancel. Isn't that crazy?
That's
no,
great.
That's a good thing.
Hold on a second. Can I just say that you should put that as a selling point?
No wedding. Yeah. And no one's ever gotten divorced either. No,
yeah, exactly. And they're all happy, and they all have kids right away.
Right.
That's amazing.
Exactly. And they're all male children first.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, I want to go back to restaurants. In restaurants, when we started, Mark and I started in the restaurant business in the 80s. And in the 80s, everybody spent a ton of money on cut flowers. Like twice a week, you'd get in cut flowers.
Yes.
And then in the 90s.
At least twice a week.
And then in 87, the market crashed, and everybody started putting in, like, twigs.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, and what's the state of flowers in restaurants today, and how important are they, and how have they changed? How are people handling that design issue with candles or what?
That's a really good question. I think we are we experienced in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, another resurgence of like really kind of wild, you know, beautiful and strange, exotic flowers in restaurants, at least here in New York City. Like I can recall when Jean Georges' restaurant first opened up, the wonderful guy, David Brown, the florist, was just doing incredible, you know, really floral sculptures in their restaurant. And, of course, that's part of how I started my floral career was through Rocco Dispirito and Union Pacific, and I used to spend a lot of time going into his walk-in refrigerator and stealing all his ginger and shoving it into the flower arrangements.
Uh-huh.
But now I think that things have kind of scaled back. You know, I'm not really. I think also just the interior design element of restaurants has become sort of less flower friendly and more about the details of the materials and, you know, the marble or the stone or the chandeliers.
Well, so, and I think it also makes, because you're not used to seeing it, when you do a private event and you call in a florist, mm-hmm. to it makes it stand in even more stark relief, and it can be really a very special way to dress up an occasion.
Absolutely.
Our guest is Karen Bussin. She is a top event designer, including weddings and as well as other events, both in restaurants and for catering. You can find her at KarenBussin.com. You can also find her through our website, RestaurantGuysRadio.com. She has a lot of great books that are very helpful to you in planning events out there. And we'll be talking more with her in just a moment about the final topic we'll deal with, which is the wedding favor. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155.
Hi, this is
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Stage left, Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, but you knew that. Our guest is Karen Bussin. She's a top wedding designer and event designer. And, Mark, you have a question.
Yeah,
as
Karen,
a married guy, you have a question.
Karen, I want to tell you, and I know a lot of my friends listen to the show, so I want to ask you, I want you to give them some advice, because I have really all the ceramic frogs I could possibly use. So if you could maybe give a couple of suggestions for wedding favors, or you know, things that you've seen that maybe have gone awry, or things that go well in the wedding favor area, I would really appreciate it.
Snow globes?
Well, first of all, I am of the school that you know, you've just given this great party. I don't personally think that a wedding needs to turn into the Academy Awards and it's like a swag bag that everyone gets when they leave. I mean, even favors have gotten a little out of control.
I like the iPod docking station. That's a good idea for a wedding favor.
Exactly. So I personally am really noticing a trend, and am in favor of the trend of making a charitable donation, speaking of turning, you know, things into a positive, to an organization that's, you know, something of meaning to the bride and groom or their family, or doing something that's small, but please, 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 just, you know, don't put your name on it and the date, because once you get it home.
Can I tell you, I got it, Karen, I agree with you 99.9% of the time, but Mark Pascal, when he got married in 1992?
August 29th, 1993.
His wife's drilled that into him.
No.
The date on the favor?
No. Is the date on the favor?
The date is on the favor.
The date is on the favor, and Mark and Jen's name is on the favor, but do you know what they gave out? And we're in the restaurant business, they give out nice wine openers.
Okay, well, now that's a great, I mean, something that you can use keep is great, you know, or something that you can consume and enjoy, like a great bottle of wine or a wonderful olive oil.
Well, you know the nice thing about these wine openers? We'll go over to our friends' houses and get the Mark and Jen wine opener. We'll come out of the drawer, you know, 14
well,
years later.
You know what the beauty of it is? What? I never forget my anniversary, because every time I open a bottle of wine at a friend's house, August 29th, 1993.
Hey, Karen, the news is coming up, so we've got to listen to that, but you've been great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thanks so much,
super.
Karen.
That's Karen Bussin. Her books, The Simple Stunning Wedding Series, Simple Stunning Wedding Flowers. Her books are great. Her shows are great. You can find her at KarenBussin.com, or, of course, go to our website, RestaurantGuysRadio.com, and learn all about her. Hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.